welcome everybody to Keeping It True by You Saints. Before we start this episode, we do have a very fun announcement to make. It is the 1 year birthday of True by You Sports Media and the True by You Media brand. Very thankful, of course, to have you all here along the way. We've seen a lot of fun things so far in year one, but we know that year two is going to bring us way more excitement and, of course, hopefully way more viewers and engagement as we continue to grow and become a dominant voice in the sports media landscape here in the Bayou region. So once again, thank you to everybody who's helped make it so great so far. Now we'll get you into the episode here of Keeping It True by You Saints. All right, and welcome back everybody. And with further ado, you know, this preseason began. You can see with a new season, we have changes for the Saints and changes here at True Value Media. New layout. I hope that you all are going to like it. A little bit different here with the camera angles, so forth and so on. Still the same core detail to all the important parts of the Saints experience and whatever particular fan base you're looking for, not only here with Keeping It True Value Saints, but our other shows as well. So programming notes aside, look, this game was kind of what we expected for preseason game one, but at the same time, you know, it led you to have to wonder, are things as bad as what's being talked about? Did this really showcase what's the best case scenario for the Kellen Moore era? Is this what we should be expecting for the remainder of the year? And, you know, it's preseason game one. Everybody wants to come out with the most outlandish take in the world to show that they know ball more than the other person, but I can guarantee you, start by taking that first breath and understanding that this was not even a genuine, authentic preseason game one. And you might ask, how in the world is this not game one? Well, it's a little bit different when the team you played has already played a game. Now, this is usually a concept reserved for college football, where you see a team gets a week zero game and then they face another team, and there's sort of a little bit of a natural chemistry imbalance that goes on. Now, I'm not making that as an excuse for the Saints and the performance that they had. Clearly, getting beat by two touchdowns did not happen on accident or due to a scheduling conflict. It was because of the lack of certain players' abilities, but I think it is an important note that it is a little bit different than the average scenario that the Saints face when it comes to preseason game one. So I'm going to take that as a brief caveat and something I think everyone should consider as well. So let's get into the rundown, sort of what was important, what made the difference here. Obviously, as we mentioned, the Saints do fall to the Chargers 27-13. It was a game that was close in the beginning, and I think when you see that combinations of ones and twos in the early part of a game, that is a little bit more important when it comes to preseason football. A lot of people lose that concept that it sort of goes over their head. You know, the people who you are seeing in the third and fourth quarter, particularly the later halves of those, are not the people who are going to be playing on Sundays. You will have one or two, absolutely, on every drive from each side of the ball. But primarily, that is a different type of game. That is more of a tryout scenario. Who's going to be practice squad? Who's going to make the roster? That's what that part of preseason tends to highlight. And in this case, it partially did for the Saints, and it shows maybe some weaknesses in depth that weren't quite as glaring as an issue. But let's start with what happened in the first half. Let's start with how we see the first elements of this new quarterback battle, as well as other positions, start to take place. And that was the Spencer Rattler-led offense with Kendre Miller primarily as his running back. Now, this was a moment that a lot of Saints fans, of course, are very excited about. They're very excited to see what this new system looks like with Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier, and the whole entire staff transferring away from a defensive-led coaching perspective back to an offensive-led coaching perspective. And you would think that that might come with a bit of natural advantages. And, you know, I'm not going to necessarily say that the offense was terrible in that first set of drives. Honestly, the Saints had every opportunity to be ahead in the first quarter. If it was the muffed punt that they got the ball back deep in Chargers territory, where they should have had the opportunity to put some points on the board, but because Kendre Miller does not quite get the push needed and he ends up getting pushed backwards, you end up losing on fourth and goal. You have even Spencer Rattler when he goes and runs it down at the one. It's those types of small instances which you would hope whenever you're pairing Juwan Johnson, Alvin Kamara, and other players who are not active during this matchup, even Eric McCoy at center, that you see the change. But what did happen? What did it look like? And to me, it reminded me a lot of what we saw last year, to be frank with you, during the Spencer Rattler starts. It was a offense that was at best cognizant of what they were doing, but they were always short a couple plays. And that's not necessarily a dig. It isn't really. I think it's, again, not seeing the true put together version of what you have, which does have me a little bit concerned for next week, but we'll save that till the end of the episode, and I can tell you a little bit what I think Kellen Moore should be doing different, and leave a little bit more out there. But beyond that, the other note that everyone is going to take away is that you need to subscribe to this channel and hit the like button. That way we can continue to make more of these videos at a frequency that, of course, is helpful to you and everybody that you know. That was a subtle but very quick plug for, of course, you to follow, subscribe, and like wherever you are. Once again, we thank you for your input and participation. But beyond that, yes, the actual note is that, look, injuries, for whatever reason, live in the airline drive facility, and they have now infected another set of New Orleans pro athletes. And you see two offensive linemen go down in this game. You see a wide receiver who's coming back from basically having his rookie year stolen by an ankle injury go off the field on a cart with a towel on his head. It kind of is showing that while preseason and the training camp aspect is always one where you want to make sure you're putting players in a position to get reps without injury. Reps without injury. And look, I'll be the first to say Bub Means and Will Clapp do not necessarily have major, yes, impacts, but not major impacts on the ability of this team to generate wins. But someone like Trevor Penning does. Trevor Penning going off the field with both of his shoes off, getting carted, it's a little bit concerning. We'll know more about that injury as the week goes on, but you have to think about it, man. If this season goes down the route to where you have a fractured offensive line whenever, and we've talked about it previously, the O-line is such a core component to whatever quarterback goes out there and plays. If that O-line is damaged, it will not work. We saw clearly what happened with some of the players who were in there today. I mean, you had to feel bad for the guy, but, you know, multiple procedural penalties, multiple missed assignments, and, you know, Spencer Rattler dealt with it, particularly when you talk about how it went with the ones, quote unquote. It wasn't a pretty sight. So I'm hesitant to say that this particular set of injuries won't come back to make a bigger impact, but you know, time will tell. Time will tell. And that's another thing that time will tell, because you look at how this quarterback battle went, and it's an important thing to discuss. You know, Tyler Shuck came out in that second half, and I have to say, I'm rather satisfied with what I saw when it came to how he played. Now, if we get rid of the pick six, you definitively have the performance of the day coming from Tyler Shuck. If it's leading in the second half at the end of the quarter, which I think was one, I'm sorry, leading in the end of the first half at the end of the second quarter, there we go, down to get into field goal position. I think that's one thing that went completely overlooked today by a lot of the media and other people who were reporting on this. I personally felt like that was a great sign of him being able to execute the offense with relatively short notice, not really having everything put in place for him. And, you know, you go out there, you get points, and that's what you want to see. Now, on the contrary, you do see a quote-unquote expected Tyler Shuck mistake. And it comes from what you see in the film over his years in college, is that he is sometimes liable for not finishing out getting rid of the ball in a way that is, or even putting the ball in position in tight windows, that is going to always evade the defender. And the defender put on a great performance to get that interception, and much less the return was also quite nice. But no, completely, that pick six is on Tyler Shuck. So even though, yes, he had a very nice touchdown, yes, he had a very nice field goal, I still have to penalize him for the pick six if we're going to be objective here. And that, to me, negates a lot of other good things that you saw. If anything, you know, it just takes a fraction of it away. So I'm excited for what I saw, but at the same time, that would be like me saying, okay, Spencer, you got strip sacked and you also didn't get your hand over the goal line to get that touchdown. I think you didn't have a great day. I think they both had very functional days. To be honest with you, the quarterback that I felt like did not keep his day at the same level was Jake Haener. Obviously, way different set of experience, but, you know, he's coming in there playing against threes and fours, and the performance was what we've seen from him his entire career. It doesn't feel like there's been a lot of improvement, which is a sign that I think we need to think about something else there. If there's not improvement after, you know, two full years of NFL football, you can't keep continuing to play the same song and dance and expect a different result. So something that Jake Haener's going to have to work on really hard here in this next game. And I say this next game because that's whenever you start to see a situation to where if you need to get another veteran quarterback in, it may need to happen before game three. Just that way they can get a run with the offense during the preseason and have some more time on hand. And honestly, you know, I don't wish it for Jake Haener. I don't wish it for, you know, any of these guys, particularly whatever the road might bring them to. But it is something that is worth considering. Is a veteran QB a stronger option purely from a functional perspective, not so much from a potential perspective for this team at this moment? But again, a decent day from Tyler Shuck, a formidable day from Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler, of course, got the start. I think it will honestly be a rotation for the next game. So you will likely see Tyler Shuck go out there against Jacksonville's ones. And I'm not going to necessarily say that it is going to be a situation that you have to worry about, but it is a situation where you have to think about it, because you certainly don't want to find yourself where, you know, if it's Travis Hunter, if it's anybody else for the Jacksonville secondary going out there and you rattle Tyler Shuck again, that could be the type of thing that sets off a spiral to where if the guy gets touched up 2 weeks in a row, hey, you know, Spencer may not be playing the best, but I think that could lock him in to being the starter, because the guy goes out there and he gets handled twice, particularly that we saw Tyler Shuck primarily playing against twos and threes. If he gets touched up by ones when he already did by twos and threes, it's certainly something to keep an eye out for, and it's what we're going to have to be paying attention to. But I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and it's what's going to come going into week two, into week three, and the regular season. And that is, of course, using week two as your full warm-up game versus using week three as your full warm-up game. Now, the next two opponents, as you've already had, these are all AFC opponents. So they're not anything where you have to even worry about for playoff positioning or anything like that, where you don't have to necessarily protect the playbook. You're not playing either of these teams in the regular season. I think it is a situation where Kellen Moore may need to get a little bit more advanced in getting this team reps. And because it's a fact of the matter that what we saw today was not going to be effective in the majority of NFL scenarios. What we saw today looked like what some of the predictions are saying, 2-4 wins. Personally, I'm going to tell you more at the end of the month when I put my full prediction out there. But personally, I don't have this team getting that low. I think it's possible, but I don't have them there. So maybe you need to start incorporating more advanced parts of the offense to just get the reps in, to get the guys a shot at seeing this in live action, because again, you aren't holding joint practices, so you're only seeing this with your own guys. if you can see more of these concepts and see how they play in games that are not going to hurt you, particularly because you play, again, 4 out of 5 NFC opponents to start the regular season. Now, again, are we expecting the Saints to be in a wild card contention to where maybe NFC record is going to be make or break? No. But is it nice to know that you're not completely dead in the water by week 5? Yes. So for me, I think you have to go 2 for 4 in those first 4 NFC games. And if that means that you got to, you know, go out there and be a little crazy at home against Jacksonville and Denver, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it, Kellen Moore. I'm excited to see what you come up with. I'm excited to see what the boys come up with, how they respond. And you're going to get a home crowd in the Dome on Sunday. Again, I think it'll be a very fun crowd. I'll be there. So if you see me, say hello. But, you know, we're looking forward to what's going to happen. I will be back later this week with my full preview going into this game and a episode of True Bayou Sports Media Primetime. And then we'll, of course, follow that up with a recap show here on Keeping It True Bayou Saints. Excited that football is back. We're having live sports going on. Very fun as well. And, of course, if you missed it in the little prelude to the show, happy birthday, True Bayou Sports Media Network, 1 year today. Thanks, everybody, for watching, and we'll see you in the next one as we look to keep it true by you. Thanks, everybody. This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.